Today I want to observe how this is in many ways a day of new beginnings, certainly for the folks who are coming to be baptized and to take membership here inside of our church, Amy and Ben and Pat and John. Others may be in a place of, I want to be part of that, and please, I want to talk to you about that. If that is something that you're feeling called to, let's talk. Now, we're at the beginning of a new year. How are those resolutions working out for you? Mine are in the rearview mirror. Oh, I was going to do that. But we also are at the edge of things. I've talked about this for a while now. Not in any kind of like seriously prophetic, you know, we should be terrified way, but there's a natural and justified anxiety that is in the air. And that's not necessarily a political thing, it is a life thing. We look at our economy, we look at our world, we look at, you know, those local things that are part of our life. We look at the fragility of life as we have seen it played out on our television screens and wondered, you know, about family and friends or those people that are right down the street from us who are working their way through personal fires, who are dealing with death, who are dealing with uncertainty about their immigration status and what might happen, who are trying to make sense of the day. So we are at an edge, at a place, and there's a certain amount of natural anxiety and wonder that comes with that. It's interesting, I was at a training yesterday with some folks here from the church, and in one of the sessions, the trainer observed how the level of anxiety in young people, that sense of distress and apprehension within young people has dramatically shot up in the last several years. Interestingly, people in their 50s and beyond have been dealing with it, but are kind of stable in that. But the young people are feeling it. I mean, there's a power to experience, I guess, because we've seen things before. We've lived through things before, but it's hard for us all. And certainly, it was hard for the people in Jerusalem and those people who came out to see John the Baptist. I mean, think about it. These are people who are living under occupation. They have political powers that are, you know, pretty domineering, but also complex. There's local authorities, and then there's Roman authorities. There's the complexity of life that, you know, the average age of death is much younger than what we enjoy at this point. The capacity of relatively small diseases, even things that result from scratches, you know, you get a scratch, you put some Bactrim on it, or some antibiotic cream on it, throw a Band-Aid on it, life is good, right? Well, in some parts of the world now, and certainly in more primitive times, some of those infections could be fatal. So, in the wilderness was a crazy man, wild hair, wearing weird clothes, eating bugs, right? John the Baptist. And he's saying, we have to turn our ways. We have to orient ourselves in such a way that we're moving in the right direction. That we, as we are living our lives, we have to enter into a new day. That we have to enter into these things with the right perspective and rooted in a right understanding of who we are and who God is. Faith has to be our guide. faith, as we stand in these moments of anxiety, as we stand in times that we're not exactly certain. And that faith is not going to just kind of magically sort of make things better, but it's going to help us with those steps as we go through the complex. John is saying, you know, this is the way. Someone's coming that's going to be much greater than me, but this is the way. And we have to set our eyes to the North Star that faith gives, like what we talked about last week. Now, of course, this last week has been a week where we, many of us, were able to witness a reflection on a life in that of Jimmy Carter. This is not a political sermon. But Jimmy Carter, although a political person, was also a person of deep Christian conviction. And I had the privilege of having some relationship with some of the people that were part of the service at the National Cathedral this last week, and was reminded of that as I watched that service in the midst of the complexity of politics and, you know, all the joy that is D.C. Oh, you can laugh louder at that. Even in the midst of that stir, and in the history of his engagement in that, Carter was a person who knew that Jesus loved him and was carrying him. I was thinking about things Carter said about faith. He said, "I've always believed that faith is not just part of our lives, but it's central to who we are as human beings. Faith is the bedrock of my life and has shaped my approach to leadership and service. Faith is not a passive thing. It requires action, compassion, and commitment to justice. Through faith, we learn that the world does not revolve around us, but around God's love." I like that last part. I'm going to read it again. Through faith, we learn that the world does not revolve around us. Hang with that for a moment. But around God's love and the expression of that in justice. So today, we are going to stand at the edge where we are in the anxieties that we carry with us into this space and into our lives. And we are also going to remember and celebrate that North Star, that faith that roots us as we move forward. Four people will engage in that life of becoming part of our particular faith family. That family that is part of the larger family, but that family that holds on to the idea that God's love is what matters, that the world revolves around that, that our lives and our hearts revolve around that, God's love. And in the doing, we will also remember all those times. A little bit more than 100 folks in this room here, all those stories of baptisms, of your baptism. Moms and dads smiling, grandparents, brothers and sisters kind of poking you. And all the ways in which that baptism has carried forward. One of the people I really I have come to appreciate more and more over the years is a farmer theologian. You got to like farmer theologians. She's in North Carolina. Her name is Elaine Heath, And in a book she wrote in 2016 to an anxious church, you know, maybe we should think of it as to an anxious world. She wrote this based upon the book of Galatians, this passage that I want to read and finish my time with you. And I commend these words to you from her. Dear church, dear anxious church, God's one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, let's get on with our work. You know the parable of wineskins, and that's from Luke 5, verses 37 through 38. You know the parable of wineskins. For goodness sakes, you've taught that parable to me. We are in a time of wineskin change. Let's celebrate that instead of wringing our hands. Let's thank God for the old wineskins and the grace it carried to us. And let's celebrate the new wineskins with its expansive fermentation. Let's do both. We don't have to choose from 150 years back to what our next years are now. So what if we are losing our privileged place in society? We never did our best work there anyway. We're always our best at the bottom or at the edge. This is a great time to remember the saints and mystics who founded our traditions, the ones who did their work from the margins, from the struggle, from the lack, from the hope. Because as I say this with more love than I can name, we can't afford to keep squabbling about things like buildings and budgets and pews and stoles and handbells and drums and praise bands and carpet and so on and so on. We must stop that at once. God needs all hands on deck. We cannot continue operating as if we are a private club with members' dues and privileges. Why? Because Jesus never acts like that. Because Jesus never acts like that. Our neighbors need us. God needs us. And we need us too. I know that it's hard to play and be creative when we fear fearful. Anxiety takes the spring out of our step. We don't have to be afraid, though. That's the wonderful news. God's love casts out fear. That's within our scriptures. God is with us, with us. God orchestrates systems change. Change happens all the time. So that every generation, every community, every person can experience God in their world, their context, and their time. It continues on even now. Beloved church, can we agree to let God have our anxiety? Can we take that anxiety and place that at the foot of this cross? Along with everything else, can we take that anxiety and put it here? God knows how hard it is for us to let go. We simply have to be willing to be made willing. Just a tiny degree of openness allows God to work with us, like dandelion seeds. Now, I know some may stop here and say, some of you do not like your dandelions, right? Some of you, I just brought up trauma for some of you. Oh, but work with her here. God allows, and God asks us to allow God to work with us like dandelion seeds. They blow on the wind, fall in every crack, and before you know it, it's a parking lot full bloom. Church, do you realize we are on the cusp of a new great awakening? And it looks like a spiritual dandelion explosion as far as eyes can see. God's new thing is networked, exponential, spirit-breathed, decentralized, a vast planting of small communities of faith. It doesn't have to be the big church. It's very much the work of lay people. It's very much the church of lay people. And it's emerging as a natural progression out of the church that once was, that used to be. I know if we will say yes to God, we can rely on God's already having said yes to us. So let's go together, all of us, in that direction, in the direction that God leads. When that happens, the world will know that Jesus spoke the truth, that God's love is for everyone. People will encounter the real tradition, the tradition behind the tradition, because they will experience it in us. May God bless us in this new day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit.